There's a passage of Scripture that warns us of a time when we'll need to be aware and on our spiritual guard concerning people who claim to be the Messiah. One of those warnings is found in Luke 21:8. There Jesus said, "Be careful that you don't get deceived, for many will come in my name and claim to be the Christ. The time is near. Don't follow after them." Well, there's a fellow that's been making this kind of a claim for a long time. But he's taken things to a new level earlier this year, and with a little smoke and mirrors and tricking, he duped a good number of state representatives and senators to his coronation as king. The Reverend Sung Young Moon, an eccentric and exceedingly wealthy Korean-born businessman, donned a crown in the Senate office building and declared himself the Messiah while members of Congress watched. In fact, one congressman, a Representative Danny Davis from Illinois, wore white gloves and carried a pillow holding one of two ornate gold crowns that were placed on the head of Mr. Moon and his wife. Mr. Davis said that he held the wife's crown and was a bit surprised by Mr. Moon's Messiah remarks. They were delivered in Korean, but accompanied by a written translation. In it, King Mooney said, "Emperors, kings, and presidents have declared unto all heaven and earth that I, Reverend Sung Young Moon, is none other than humanity's Savior, Messiah, returning Lord, and true parent." After the news of the event had been reported in the online magazine Salon and some other newspapers, Capitol Hill was in full-blown backpedaling mode. Lawmakers who attended but left early and missed the coronation, or saw it and didn't think much of it, were struggling to explain themselves. I remember the king and queen thing, said Representative Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland. But we have a king and queen of the prom, a king and queen of 4-H, and we have a king and queen of the Mardi Gras. I had no idea what he was king of. Others, like Senator Mark Dayton from Minnesota, insisted that they were duped and had no idea that the organization holding the reception was connected to Mr. Moon. "I never saw Reverend Moon present during the time I was there," said Dayton. "I didn't stay for any formal program." Well, hold on to your hats, folks. It gets even more disturbing. It seems that an Archbishop George A. Stallings, pastor of the Imani Temple, helped coordinate the reception. And he said he didn't see what all the fuss is about. And I quote him, "From his spiritual perspective, Mr. Moon sees his role as ordained by God." Well, Archbishop George Stallings, I have a subtle suggestion for you to consider. Read your Bible. You know, the Word of God. And try to connect the dots. Reverend Mooney is suggesting that he's your Savior, Jesus Christ, returned to earth. Your Bible tells you that when Christ returns, he'll do so by coming in the clouds. I'll tell you what I'll do. At the close of this end time report, I'm going to play an audio selection of that particular passage, so you don't even have to go hunt your Bible. My friends, this is a perfect example of why you and I need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and we need to be ready at all times to give an account for the hope that rests within us, so that others will not be misled, even when people with Reverend or Archbishop in front of their names are willing to compromise God's Word with human logic. Keep looking up, my friends.
"For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
Our social ills. Now what's the cause?
Answers with Ken Ham author of the eye-opening book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Well, Ken, I've heard you say that social problems such as abortion and homosexual behavior are related to evolution. But are you saying that evolution causes things such as abortion?
No, I'm not saying that. But it's true that the increasing acceptance of abortion and homosexual behavior have gone hand in hand with the popularity of evolution. But that doesn't mean that every evolutionist is an abortionist or every abortionist is an evolutionist. You see, evolution isn't really science, it's a religion. Evolutionism is the belief that life can be explained without God. Now, think about it this way. Why is a Christian against such things as abortion and homosexual behavior? It's because they believe that God is creator, thus he owns everything and everyone. Therefore, we're accountable to him. This means that it's God who has a right to set the rules. In his word, we read that life begins at conception and homosexual behavior is an abomination to the Lord. Now, when people believe the Bible is not God's word and that we're just animals, products of evolution, logically, they wouldn't be accountable to anyone but themselves. Therefore, they can decide their own rules about such things as abortion. Man is in rebellion against his creator by insisting he is an evolved animal. According to a professor at the University of Michigan, the evolutionary view of natural selection has played an important part in leading to suicide terrorism. Here's what he says, quote, "Natural selection gives us all sorts of dispositions and desires that were adaptive in ancestral environments." He further explains, "Now our cultural milieu picks certain of these adaptations of their byproducts and is able to trigger them to produce behaviors that have nothing to do with what they originally evolved for." End of quote. Now this professor is claiming that he can use evolution to explain why there's suicide bombings. But you see, if he believes in evolution, he also has to explain why there are people who are selfless and compassionate. You know, only Genesis explains both, because it tells us about the origin of evil, that man was good, but because of sin, everything changed. That's why we see both good and evil in the world. Actually, it's only the Christian anyway who can really consistently talk about what's good and what's evil, because without an absolute authority, one can have no basis for deciding that there's right or wrong or good or bad. You see, in the beginning, God, that is the only statement that makes sense of this universe.